All right, what up, though? It's your boy, CB. That's Chill B, and this is the Chill Bravado Podcast, where I bring you a series called Lakers 82-16. That's where we cover the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. And once again, the Lakers proved to us that they are not a very good basketball team. They proved to us that they are very average as a team, as a unit. And what are we going to do about it? What are they going to do about it? We'll talk about some of the options and we'll try to boost the morale. But we're also going to, like I said last year, you have to take your medicine. And it's time for us to get into that mode again where we have the same record at this time that we did last year. And it's time to take the medicine. All right, what's up? Let's get right into it, man. We got a lot to cover coming into this week where we play a game every other day. No back-to-backs, but that has not seemed to help us in many ways. We got two wins in a row, then we lost two in a row. So, coming off the Raptors win, you know, we're going to discuss a little bit of that. You know, just touch on it real quick because we got some other games to get to. And then, you know, lose to the Suns and then lose to the Jazz last night. To touch on the Raptors, the darker rant kind of overshadowed the high-scoring game. It was just guys could not miss. Everybody was making shots. Darko ranted about the free throw disparity. And, you know, this always comes up when the Lakers come to town or when you come into crypto.com arena. And for some odd reason, you lose and you look up and say, wait a minute, they took more free throws than us. So it has to be that the league is wanting them to win. And a lot of fans feel that way about the Lakers. But as the Lakers sit here at 19-21, does that really look like the league cares if the Lakers win or lose? Did the league get them into the play-in last year? Did the league help them get to the conference finals? Some people say yes. And I'm fine with that. You know, I don't really, you know, go back and forth with who thinks of what, you know, what people think a foul is or what fouls are being called for certain superstars. And I know we're not about to sit here and say LeBron gets superstar treatment when it comes to fouls. You know how I feel about it. Although LeBron does get fouled a lot more than what he's called for, I feel like LeBron gets away with a whole lot of bodying and a whole lot of just, you know, shoving guys out the way. So, you know, I think it evens out at some point, you know, at some certain situation. But for the most part, LeBron's not getting calls. You know, it is what it is. And in that game, after Darko goes on and said they should have just let us know that they were going to let the Lakers win, we wouldn't have showed up. You know, he got fined like $25,000. But I was watching NBA Today and a couple of the other shows, and I was like, okay, they're going to definitely point out that in that fourth quarter, they intentionally fouled for like the last like almost a minute and a half. Like, it was all intentional fouls because they was playing the free throw game where you have to foul to stay in the game. And then everybody kind of got upset when R.J. Barrett, you know, set the moving screen. Now, if AD does not fall right there, they're not making that call. Because R.J. Barrett passed the ball, and he did run into that screen. He walked right into it. He was not set. So it was a clear out. It's a foul. Now, did AD flop and sell it? Of course. You know, and I listened to, you know, just different personalities, and I hear. And I was very disappointed the NBA Today crew didn't point out that a lot of those free throws came from them trying to foul intentionally to get back into the game, you know, play the free throw game. So nobody talked about that. RJ Barrett had dumb fouls. You know, Siakam had fouls against some AD. AD was clearly the biggest man on the court, and he took advantage of that, which causes guys to foul. RJ Barrett, I'm sorry, you had a couple dumb fouls. So that rant, I think it fueled a part of the league that doesn't like LeBron and doesn't like the Lakers, and it gave them something to talk about for that night. So I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it's all good for the league, you know, and whatever narrative you want to push on. So moving on from that Raptors game that we won by one, whew, you know, we would have lost that game. Man, you know, we'll be sitting here at a 3-game losing streak, but we were able to pull it out. And then when I seen that the Suns game was on TNT, I said to myself, the TNT curse is coming. Charles Barkley hasn't had his time to bash the Lakers in a while. And he's going to get it. And Bradley Beal goes off and made sure that he had all the ammunition he needed. you know, Reggie Miller and the guys were definitely pointing out that AR was getting targeted on a lot of those jump shots. Some of them were well contested. They were just shooting over the top of him. Some of them where he had, you know, looked silly. When Bradley Beal put him in the bop to bop, you know, put him in the hibachi, you know, put him in the blender, you know, had them puppies moving left and right, up and down. And, you know, so Bradley Beal had himself a night. You know, and in that game, we beat the Suns 3 times this year, right? And it's just like when they came out with their big 3 finally, it's like the Suns said, we're going to prove a point that you guys may have beaten us when we were not in full, but you're not doing it when all 3 of us are here. And they turned into a jump shooting match. Booker started early. Beal just got hot from, you know, from 3 and pretty much hitting everything. Durant was making an effort. He was playing like LeBron, like pretty much almost full court. And the energy and the effort was just not there. LeBron and the Lakers, they kind of said, oh man, these guys came to play tonight. And they tried it one time. All right, we're going to try to get it. They got it down to 9. Suns were not having it. And then it's like the Lakers said, oh well, you guys got it. It amazes me how it just, the energy in that game, you could tell it was over. You know, I mean, JR texted me, was like, fake comeback? I'm like, nah, not this time. I told him I had a feeling. They're going to smack the Lakers tonight. It was going to happen. It's just jump shooting teams like that, and they're hot. It's nothing you can do about it. AR, you could have been anybody. You could have been anybody. D-Lo, Torian Prince, none of these guys are going to stop Booker, KD, and Beal when 2 of them are shooting like that. So, that was what it was. It is what it is. You know, it was amazing just to see the fans be very upset. And I just feel like expectations for this team should be, you know, I think you should adjust them as the year goes on. And I'm going to talk about that a little later, but just adjusting because, you know, the TNT curse is going to happen. I knew it was coming. I have a whole lot of fake superstitions about this team, you know, the fake comeback, you know, the TNT curse, you know, most of the time national televised games, we just don't do well in them because we know we're playing this like Philly or Boston and, you know, Clippers sometimes. And let's go back to this TNT curse. Charles Barkley has to say at the end of the game, the Lakers are in trouble. And you can say that right now because they are looking like they're in trouble, but not the way he said. He said it the same way he said it last year, when he was saying we weren't even going to make the playoffs in trouble. I don't feel like we're in that type of trouble, but we're sitting here after 40 games and we're 19-21, the same record we had last year at the same time. So Kenny Smith is more my feeling. I don't know what this team is, who this team is. We don't know how to judge them in December and January. We'll really see this team in February and March. And I heard that March schedule is brutal. So the closer we get to that part of the schedule, I heard it's going to be brutal. So we better be clicking on our cylinders in this January, right? Like right now, we're starting off bad. You know, it's not starting out the way you want it. So when I come back, you know, I'm going to talk about, you know, Shaq, you know, a little bit of Shaq, getting into the Jazz game. Then we're going to get into the MLK run that we have starting Monday. And I'll be right back after this. All right, Chill Bravado Podcast. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Any all the platforms, whatever you listen to your podcast needs. Let me clear my throat. Make sure you hear this, though. Make sure you go check out my boy JR and the All Things Sports Podcast, where he covers the world of sports. Anything you need, baseball, basketball, football, college football, which just ended. Anything and everything that's sports, my guy's going to be on it. So make sure you go tune in, check him out. Well, he gives you all the numbers, all the stats, all his rants of the weeks, whatever you need. He got you covered. Go check my boy out. Now, let me get back to these Lakers, man, because he claims he doesn't want to talk about them. And I told him he needs to talk about the Lakers. People out here want to know. It's maybe all things sports, but it's all things Lakers sometime when it's basketball season rolling around. So people want to hear the All Things Sports Podcast. All right. Just jumping back into the TNT curse and then going into that Jazz game that we lost. Shaq was talking about Hammond. If the rumors were true, he was saying that, you know, if Hammond's lost the locker room, he was kind of pointing at maybe being the resume. Like when Phil talked, he listened because he knew, you know, Phil had the resume. When Pat Riley talked to him in Miami, he listened because he had the resume. But when certain coaches or guys talked to him, he looked at him and he's like, well, what have you done? You know, he was saying that it could possibly be that, like AD and LeBron. I'm like, hey, man, you can coach and tell us, but we're out here playing. So, like, nah, we ain't feeling it, we ain't doing it. And I feel like that can be a case. I don't think it's, like, intentionally to disrespect Ham in a way that people are making it out to be. But I feel like it's certain times when LeBron's going to look at Ham and be like, yeah, nah, we're not doing that. Or he get out there on the court and he sees something different. And I think Ham's actually a good part of his, you know, coaching is that he's a player coach, listen to guys, you know, let them voice their opinions. I don't know if necessarily he's going to do. I don't think it necessarily means that he's going to do what they suggest, but I think he gives you the opportunity to suggest it and open your mouth and feel about it. So I feel like some of the things are probably a little overblown as far as them. I feel like the team got frustrated when after he benched Dino, you know, after he benched AR, then he benched Dino. And I don't think the team was filling that lineup where you had Cam Reddish, Vando, Tony Prince, LeBron, and AD. I don't think they was feeling that. Like, AD and LeBron did not look like they were having that. D-Lo and AR looking like they wasn't feeling that. You know, I don't know. Yeah, you can just tell that wasn't going to last long. So, got away from that. Rui, like, look, man, you mean this all-defensive lineup? I'm a little bit leaning toward what Gil says. Like, you're not going to put these guys out here and then at the end of the game, they're going to total 8 points. If Vando and Cam Reddish scores 8 points the whole game and the guys that guarding scores 35, like, who won that? Like, who plays that? Like, Tony Prince hit or miss sometimes, not a great defender. And you want to put him out there for 30 minutes during the game while you got Max Christie, who's an up-and-coming guy, bouncy, may make mistakes, but he's just like, he has so much more effort and so much more bounce because he's younger. I'm like, come on, cuz. Like, you don't see that? Like, Christian Wood not playing for almost a month? Like, DNPs? And you was playing Jackson Hayes. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand it. And now Christian Wood's back and he's playing better, playing good, and you pairing him. And I just feel like you have to utilize the size when you have chances to. Like, Rui getting, like, these weird minutes. I don't understand it. Like, Vando, like, he's not starting, so you play him in the 12 to 15 minutes, which is cool, but you might as well start him and play that and put in this Cam Reddish starting lineup thing. I'm over it. Like, I get it, but I don't want to see Cam, Torian, you know, and it's just wild to me that this lineup situation that Ham's creating is just, I see why the players are frustrated. But to get off that, let me get to this Jazz game, because, you know, they had no LeBron, which is already, I was like, well, if this game comes down to the wire in the end, I already know we're going to lose. And it happened because we started off hot. AR, D-Lo couldn't miss. They were doing their thing. Anthony Davis has his most uncharacteristic offensive game where he was just diamond dudes up. He had a lot of assists. He had a triple-double. But he shot like 20 shots and he was terrible efficient. Like, terrible. So D-Lo had his coming out party and dropped a season high 39 points. Like, he was in his bag. He was doing whatever he wanted to do. Colin Sexton, like, he gets my, what are you doing? I wish I could say what I wanted to say, but, like, bro, what is that? Like, stop. Like, he was out there being super ultra aggressive. He should have fouled out. I mean, they let him go a couple times, but it's like, dudes just denying dudes over the screen and just, like, pushing them. Like, I didn't understand. Like, he got that call, like, three times. Like, it could have been four, but they just kind of let it go. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, but the Jazz were able to close that out. You know, they got a lot of veterans on that team. They come off the bench. So it's like, you knew that veteran punch and offensive production was going to be there. Kelly Olynyk is a guy I wouldn't mind having on this team other than Jackson Hayes. I'm like, yeah, you know, like, okay, but we'll get into, I know we're not going to be able to get that unless they just, like, buy him out or, you know, we get some whack trade with Danny Ainge. Who knows what that would be like. But AD blamed himself for this loss. He said everybody else stepped up and I didn't. And it kind of was true. Like, offensively, you were terrible. Like, AD was just galloping in there, throwing the ball, trying to get foul calls, and they wasn't giving it to him. And I don't think he deserved it because it just looked ugly. Like, you was trying to force things there. You didn't have your touch. Your jumper for the first time in a while was not falling. But he kept trying to shoot it, and I was like, cuz, it's not there.
It's not there.
You know, but let's look past that game. And as we honor MLK, you know, if you tune in to like TNT and all the stations that show, wherever it shows, they do a lot of things where they sit down and they talk MLK talk most of the day. Equality, you know, brotherhood and all these different things coming together. So if you like that kind of stuff, DVR it or tune in. But if not, tune into the games. The Lakers play against OKC on MLK here Monday. So we'll see how this goes. Another chance for them to get their get back because we was able to steal the game and beat them. So now they're coming into La La Land, and let's see what they're able to do. But we got to look forward because then you look at Dallas, who we play Wednesday. We know what they've done to us. They just shot the lights out against us too. So we've dealt with them shooting the lights out on us. It happens. It is what it is. And then after that, we have the Nets. The Nets, who have some intriguing guys in there that I feel like we should be interested in. But when I come back and close this thing out, we're going to talk about who's trade eligible after January 15th. And how do I feel really about this DeJounte Murray thing? All that and a little bit more next. All right, let's close this thing out. We're talking about the trade deadline, which is February 8th. But January the 15th is where guys become trade eligible across the board. And for us, that means Rui Hachimura. That means Austin Reeves. So let's talk about this first. The Lakers have been reluctant. And they reported and said it, you know, allowed the report to be out there over and over again that they are not interested in putting AR in any type of move. And the Atlanta Hawks have came out and had, you know, rumors that they would take AR, and to get AR, they would even maybe add something to a DeJounte Murray package that will maybe intrigue the Lakers to say, you know what, let's reconsider this. But the Lakers have been consistent, and I'm not going to lie, if they don't trade AR, I'm fine with it. He has a good contract, but I'm cool with it too if we do trade him. I don't think he doesn't, you know, he's not somebody who I feel like he's untouchable. Which I don't think the Lakers are saying that, but if you want them, you're going to have to come and like blow them away or make them say, you know what? You had my, you know, my attention, but now you have my curiosity, you know? So who can get the curiosity of the Lakers to say, maybe we will part way with this young man here, AR, I am him. And I know people, you know, talking about how he's been getting picked on defensively, but you got to think about it. This is his third year in the league. His first year in the league, he was asked to do role player hustle stuff, like, okay, take charges, you know, chase guys over, you know, chase guys over screens and stand in the corner and shoot, you know. And then for the majority of last year, until the Russell Westbrook trade and after he got put in the starting lineup with D'Lo, he was pretty much asked to do the same thing, be the hustle guy. You know, this is the first year, because he kind of started in the playoffs and in the, you know, heading to the play-in, where you started seeing AR get into the paint and display his creativity to get buckets in the mid-range and draw fouls and all those things, and my favorite LeBron thing to say, and things of that nature. He says that a lot. But he went to this year looking to be more of a PG, looking to be more of a shot creator, you know, really create shots for himself and looks and put the pressure going downhill. But he's not, I mean, you're on a scouting report now, and you're not getting the same calls you were getting last year. You still get them every now and then, but you know, it's just different. Now you're asked to be more of a two-way player, and I think that's just tough for a third-year guy. And it's even tougher when you look at the Lakers, and they're like really, really telling him to be the third-best player on the team. And I feel like if AR is your third-best player on the team, that means your number one and number two have to be great. And then the fourth, fifth, and sixth best player on the team have to be over their heads good, because I just don't feel like AR is good enough to be your third player on your team and you be a contender. And his inconsistencies from the three-point line this year, he had a great month in December. I think it was December. He had a good run, I'll say that, because I don't want to like lie on him or anything, but he has been in a slump lately from the three. He's had a couple shots here and there fall, but you can tell as he's been struggling. His mid-range game is still fine. His ability to get to the, you know, blow by guys and get to the rim sometimes is impressive, but for the most part, he's still not a guy who we look at as being able to do like like athletic, quick guard moves. Like, he's not going to bop you and then blow past some of the better defenders in the league. Not going to happen. So when you hear like the rumors that Rob Pelinka is looking for quick and athletic guards with speed and athleticism, it really points to De'Lon Austin. They don't display elite NBA athleticism. I mean, it's guys out there, they can be skillful as they want, and De'Lo showed you how skillful he can be, but De'Lo doesn't have the ability to turn that corner and put pressure on the rim at the elite guard level, nor does Austin Reeves. But the only person we have on this team that's able to turn the corner and you know, from the perimeter, that is, and attack the paint is LeBron James. Like, AD is a big man. He's not coming down off the pick and coming down full head of steam and able to do that. It's not what he does. Like, so we lack that from our guard positions. Like, even when Gabe Vincent comes back, he doesn't do that well either. He's not a guy who's gonna come off the pick and roll, or he's gonna be able to, you know, bop. And then once he gets in some space, able to do some damage. It's not really what they do. So we lack guys who are able to really put pressure on the rim and make you have to come off. And then that's going to open up the dunker spots. That's going to open up AD for the lobs, for the drop-offs. It's going to open up LeBron James doing secondary actions behind that action. It's just a lot of things that you'll be able to do once you have a guard who can touch the paint. Because just staying with AR, on defensive end now, it's obvious that Darvin Ham must be teaching this. You're leaving certain guys open to shoot the three because you're playing a percentage game. This guy shoots 28% from the three-point line, so we're going to cheat off him. Well, AR is like overkilling it. He cheats off so much, and then you're cheating off to help Anthony Davis. What are you going to do to help Anthony Davis on a consistent basis? Like, stop cheating off so much. Like, play half and half. Like, you got your guy in the wing, and then there's a guy in the corner. I need you to kind of split that difference, and that way you'll be able to at least recover to your guy and be able to kind of run him off the three-point line if you can, or at least get back to make some type of contest on the guy in the corner. You know, and if somebody rotates the way they're supposed to, you shouldn't even have to be able to have to do all that. But we're just not very connected when it comes to the help defense. AR is one of those people. LeBron's another one who doesn't do great on that. Really drives me crazy. So saying all that to say this, AR is trade eligible, January 15th. Rui is as well. I think Rui just not getting enough minutes. I think him being injured has really hurt him as well, because he's just not out there consistent anymore. And he's a rhythm player too. We don't have a lot of guys who can just go off and bop and get their own basket. Rui is the type of guy that we need offensively. He is probably one of our better two-way players, and that's not saying much. He's more offense than defense, but his size allows him, you know, to be somewhat of a help on defense, but it just depends on the matchup. You know, Vando, what's his name? Cam Reddish, right? All one-way players, defense. Austin Reeves, D'Lo, offense, you know, not known for defense. Torian Prince, not a great defender, okay offensively, average player. Now, Max Christie, young player, probably one of our better two-way players, this young. Christian Wood, to be determined, because he's shown some chops on defensive end sometime, and we know what he can do offensively, but it's just like he doesn't get enough minutes either. Jackson Hayes, incomplete. I'm off the Jackson Hayes. Like, the Jackson Hayes train, I'm getting off of it. Nothing against him, but they don't use him right. He can't stop fouling. But let's get into these trades. DeJounte Murray doesn't move the needle enough for me to make that move. And if you're going to trade Austin Reeves for DeJounte Murray, you better be getting back like Bogdanović or someone, or Sadiq Bey or something to go with it. But it's just, if you're going to do that, you better have another move, because that's just not enough. Like, you're not moving the needle. Just looking into DeJounte Murray, he's a solid defender, but he's not what we're kind of cracking him up to be. He's not like a wing stopper. He's been shooting the ball well for Atlanta, but, you know, as soon as he put that Laker jersey on, it's called the Laker tax. That three-point percentage is coming down. So I'm getting hesitant about this. If it happens, I'm fine with it, because I feel like it depends on what goes out and what comes back in. It depends on what we do with D'Lo, who's going to be involved in it. So I don't really have like a, oh yeah, do it. I'm all the way off the Zach LaVine thing, but if it happens, I just want to see what they're doing to get it. and then see if that's the only move we're making. Are we going to go around the margins again, you know, and try to get guys like, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal? You hear names, Terry Rozier, you hear names, which I don't like that one. I don't like Terry just because of the contract, and he's another little guard. I mean, unless you're getting Gabe out of here, there's no point. It's just, I don't feel like we can make enough moves to correct all the wrongs. But what are the ones, what are you going to commit to? Are we going to commit to saying we're going to get guards that have athleticism and speed and two-way play? Are we going to get just two-way wings? Are we going to get another backup big, a big man to play beside AD? What are we going to do? Are we going to get guys who have high IQ, like in the Alex Caruso, who's definitely a point of attack defender? But I just still feel like we don't know. So I'm kind of on the Kenny Smith train. Until I see a move or not a move, then I can judge it. But my expectations for this team as currently constructed is they have enough to fight to get to the sixth spot or the seventh spot. That's the highest they'll go with this team. The lowest they'll go is barely making the play-in. It just depends on the energy and effort and the help. If you make these trades, then we'll reevaluate it. We'll see what we can do, because right now the slippage and the standings is still possible to get on a run, but we have not put three wins together but like once this whole year. Just puzzles me, just troubles me. But I don't want to end on a sour note, guys. MLK Day, playing against OKC, guys, just remember what that man represented. Remember all of what he represented. Don't just pick and choose the things that makes you feel good. He was definitely sent to, you know, challenge the minds of a lot of people. He was definitely sent to offend certain people who are, you know, doing injustice. So I always try to remind people that, like, he's been kind of watered down over the years as to being this guy who just, you know, hugs and holds hands. And no, he uses intelligence, he uses voice, and he pretty much was assassinated. So let's not act like this man had a long life and was able to see the fruits of his labor. This man was assassinated for trying to make the world a better place. And people in this world saw fit that he should go. So let's not, dare I say, ever just say, oh, what a wonderful man. He had a great life and he did so many things for us. He gave his life and sacrificed it. And when you have someone who died so young, you know, normally you look at it and you say, dang, well, somebody must really, really... really, really been worried about what he was putting out there. But I think we're all stronger together, and I feel like that man definitely was trying to find a way that we could all have equality. And just like that, I give you the Chill Bravado Podcast. This is Laker 8216, where I give all the equality to all fans across the league to look at these Lakers, cheer for them, hate them, boo them, do whatever you want to do, but just tune into them. Appreciate you guys for checking us out. We'll talk to you next time. Go Lakers. Thank you.